I understand it's the debate. Susan, are you still there on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Huh.
Hello?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm going to hang up and call back. Okay, I think we're ready to go. So good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's a little after 7, and I know that the debates are going on, and the presidential debates, but however, here we are. I didn't realize that there was a conflict, or I would have considered it. I don't know if we would have changed anything. But on Wednesday nights, where this cycle is, we're studying The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. Last week we took on Chapter 1, and this week we're going to take on Chapter 2. And if you've gone onto the website, which a number of you have, you'll see that the summary was done by Aria and Susan. And is Aria here this evening? Okay, Susan's on the line with us as well on the phone. So thank you both for doing that summary. It's a really good job. Really, really nicely put. And I think it'll help us get through this difficult material. We're going to break this class into two parts. So we're going to take plenty of time on what we're going to designate pretty much as the first part. And in order for us to achieve the depth that I want to get to in this first part, it's going to require some participation. And Ivan, have you had a chance to read through this chapter yet, or?
Very, what do you call it, briskly. Very, only very briefly.
Cursorily?
You know, yes, I didn't get a chance to really prepare.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that's okay. That's okay. That means that we'll come to it kind of with fresh eyes. But this is a critical chapter as we go through into this hidden work. The name of the chapter is The Hidden Work, too. But this is a critical chapter, and it's going to allow me to discuss certain things that are very important to me about our work here. Molly, how many people are on?
We have 12 viewers.
So we have 12 viewers. That's okay. That's good. Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. So let's get into the material of this chapter, and we're going to begin a conversation that is very different than I think maybe some of us will expect. And Ivan, why don't you give us the header, and I'm going to be right back.
Okay, Chapter 2, The Hidden Work. In earlier forms of religious obligation, the whole assembly was aware of its invocational significance and expected to produce, through its efforts, a shared higher emotion, which would transport it as a single body into higher dimensions near that of the Absolute.
Okay, so that's our challenge, right? So.
That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful, Ivan tells us. So let's parse that a little bit just to get us started, okay? Let's just parse that beginning. And for some reason, the author goes on and says, in earlier forms of religious obligation, the whole assembly was aware of its invocational significance. What does he mean? what is meant by religious obligation? Okay? So we're sitting here now in the 21st century in the Western Hemisphere, in essence, and religion, forms of religion have been going on what appears to be since the dawn of time. We see these ritualistic activities done very early on, right?
Sure.
These are some of the first things that emerge when you look at the depth of antiquity. There's some sort of reaching out, something. So E.J. Gold is telling us here, earlier forms. And then he's saying that the whole assembly was aware of its invocational significance and was expected to produce through its efforts a shared higher emotion, which would transport it as a single body into higher dimensions near that of the Absolute. So for beginning, right now to begin with, get a sense of what is this space that you sense that you're in right now? What is the space that you're in? All right? Mark it in a certain way. Mark it and note it. It's important. This is a real-time exercise of what we're going to be understanding and going through here in the hidden work. So we start with what is the point that you're at? And as I scan through who's here this evening, several of you are going through a lot of things. A lot of life, in a sense, is you're carrying. So let's see how it unfolds. But mark that, it's important. What state are you in right now? Just sense it. You don't have to mark it you don't have to say anything or evaluate it. Just that you're in a state. You are. And as we enter into this class that I'm calling the road, the dust of the road, is you're going to brush it off and come to the class. Okay? You're going to come to this event. I don't want to call it a class anymore. Okay? You're going to come to this experience. Originally, the moralistic sermons common in church worship today were never part of religious services. If we read a little bit about it, you can see that emerged really, actually in a certain way, fairly recently. You know, the whole thing of sermons, cheap, you know, one individual sitting up there declaring the truth. The earliest forms of the sermon were a story told by the village storyteller. Doesn't say anything different, but just usually a priestess or a shaman, whatever that is. They were usually stories about the gods, the spirits, the prophets, and the saints. And they were told with gesture and even acting out in much the same way that all tribal storytellers everywhere have related the history of religious and religious myth. So if these are objective events, should they not be occurring right now? Should they not?
I would think so.
Yeah.
There's indications of that.
So
I don't know what direction. I'd be interested in seeing what direction you're going to go with.
Well, you'll see.
Right.
Eventually, as they were repeated many times over, the stories came to be more formalized. And here's where we start to drop the ball. Because as soon as we start to do that, as soon as the stories become formalized and there's a dictum to follow, a script in a sense to follow, immediately at that point it becomes external, right?
Okay.
You know, I'm just going to read this and this will be the event. The story is the thing.
You mean a ritual.
The story is the ritual. And these people that were doing this 2,000 years ago, were they really different than us? were they really different? And weren't they householders that had duties, and they had children, and they had jobs they had to try to go to? I mean, maybe the jobs were different, the specific tasks were different.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had the same arguments. Husbands and wives had the same arguments, and, Enoch, why aren't you making more money?
Right.
Or whoever the heck it was, you know. And it's the same stuff. But then they came together. And what's being implied here is that when they came together, that invocational moment was effective. It was effective. All right? So there's something different in that angle.
Yeah, isn't he pointing to this, that there's something that these traditional villages or tribal societies knew that we don't know, or that our society seems to have forgotten?
Okay.
I have a comment here.
Okay, just 1 second, Susan, real quick.
Okay.
So Ivan says, that seems to have been forgotten. All right? All right. I'm going to underline what Ivan is saying there. And Susan, please do read that comment.
Well, let's see. I apologize for the break here.
Okay.
Jim says, there seems to have been a break between us and our ancestors. And he goes on to say, a sense of community has been diminished.
Okay, good point. So there seems to have been a break, and the sense of community has been diminished, right?
Right.
Okay, so those are two more elements.
Right.
What was your comment again?
That there's a knowledge that's been lost.
Seems to have been a knowledge that was lost. All right? Okay. So.
And Aria says, it seems we confused information for understanding.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well put, Sheila. Really, really good. It is not well known, but the Old Testament was in the beginning a collection of tribal myths, which were only recorded on paper many centuries after they were introduced. And this is, for any biblical scholars, we understand that this is common understanding in that academic circle, all right? And that's true with so many of the religious efforts. Later came a period where the stories were organized into theatrical forms, both in the form of ritualized religious gatherings. What do you think is meant by those words? Ritualized religious Ivan's unfortunate, and he's right here. I can turn to him.
Oh, you want to ask me? Well, you have now you have reenactments. You know, you have before theater, there were ceremonies. There were, again, storytelling. There was, like in the Indian subcontinent, you had the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, which run to volumes and volumes and volumes. Has written down, but these would be
4,000 years
the
old.
Basis of dancing, of a dance, of a ballet, more or less, of a reenactment.
But let me ask.
In a village square, or
so there's some form of a reenactment, right? That they understood worked. Let me ask. I think when I glanced very quickly, I think Hawk Lady might be on. I think I saw the Jim. Well, I hear the Jim is on. Maybe Simon is on. Okay. Lost Horizon. Cool. So, when you came to this event tonight, this gathering, right? This is the gathering. When you came to the gathering, what did you do? Can you please begin to address that. For instance, everybody that's out there is on a computer. I know I saw the ghosts. I don't know if they're driving or not, but they're just way dedicated. Unbelievable. But you came to your desk where there's a computer, right? Okay, I'm talking about the people, not you, Ivan.
Well,
you're just right here.
Sitting here, yeah.
And you came to that desk, and maybe you straightened things out in a certain way. Certainly one thing you did is you clicked and you went online to get to this gathering together, right? Maybe there were a few other things, like maybe you turned off the light in the room and just had the light there at the computer desk. What are some of these specific things that you did that you've been doing for the last year when you come to this gathering together? Can somebody list a couple of those things?
Sure. Simon says that I prepare my space and gathered my attention.
Ah, so that's very specific. Something that he does, he calls that word, I prepared my space. Okay, next.
Password World turned off the debate.
Okay, so she... Path World stopped leakage of attention, is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's going to be important later. Go ahead.
Aria physically went to my computer and logged in. I got my book, pencil, turned off the TV and other distractions, and centered myself internally.
Okay. Let me ask Aria a question. When you were walking to the computer, what was going on? What was your sensing inside? Did you notice something occurring?
Yes.
Anybody can answer the question. Would you be willing to describe it a little teeny bit if you're able to?
Do you want to wait for her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is everybody else?
Okay, here we go. I noticed a sense of anticipation. An elevation in sensing.
Ah. We'll recall about a year ago, an elevation in sensing. Very good. I won't bring that other thing up. Okay, anybody else?
Oh, yeah. Mark Roach says, I like some incense.
Okay.
Pianjo, when I came here this evening, I made a conscious wish to give my attention to the group while clasping my hands in prayer gesture.
It comes to the event, and this becomes his holy space at that moment. He comes to it with intention. So intention is an element that we're talking about here. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
Aria says, I bring my attention and presence. Hawk Lady says, I make sure the dogs are fed and have done their business so I don't have the distraction.
Excellent.
Lost Horizon.
Yeah.
Says, today was unusual. I walked into Starbucks and unpacked my laptop and plugged it in.
So are you viewing this from Starbucks?
Lost Horizons.
And he is at Starbucks right now?
That's what I gather, yes.
Okay. Now, that's important then. Observe the space around you specifically, almost your auric space. Okay? We'll ask you something about it later, toward the end of the class. Anyone else?
Jim H., read quietly before. Burn cam, uncover my matrix, and light beacon. Compose self.
Who is that?
That's Jim H.
Okay, excellent.
And then
Thank you.
Also says burn candles and incense.
Yeah.
Hawk Lady said, once I see David, I connect to his heart center.
Okay.
Jim H., I guess, clarified, it's a preparation ritual. And then Lost Horizon says, although it's a public place dealing with this type of self-indulgence, I noticed that my attention is very different coming here with the intent to join the class than coming here for food or drink.
Okay. We're going to ask Lost Horizon some questions later, but this is an incredible opportunity for us that he happens to be there.
Yeah. Well, could I just say that?
Please
say that. That's. I resonate with what he's saying there because I was actually late tonight. I was barely able to get here on time. But I actually noticed that I paused before coming through the door of the studio here of the barn. And, you know, to me, it's like I quiet the thoughts and I quiet the randomness. You know, I become more present.
Almost,
in order to enter this meeting, this space.
Almost like you're walking into a church.
Well, for me it wouldn't have been church, but yeah, it's a
these Jews
it's
are
a
always
special
the same.
Gathering. A minion, yeah, about
that's
a minion.
Right.
Yeah, it's a special gathering. So yeah, I definitely have it brings about the more presence.
Susan?
Right. Yes.
Are you going to say something?
Oh, well, we do have more.
Read on.
Okay. Oria said simply from the intent to go and be present. Pianjo said, I notice form energy containing light sending on me.
Yes. Good.
Lost Horizon. Could I feel the presence of the space through the screen?
Through the what?
Through the screen.
Oh, got it. Through the screen. Thank you.
And then Becky is saying, something in my space came to me, and it was painful just before this meeting happened, and it had deep meaning.
Okay.
So I think we can go from there.
So this is something called ritualized religious gathering. And when Wednesday comes about, for me, I'm haunted by Wednesday the whole day. Actually starting sometime on Saturday or Sunday. I'm haunted by it in a certain way. I'm haunted by it because I know what's going to happen. There's a fear sense that comes up. But I stop whatever I'm doing at 4:30, I stop. There's never anything, very, very rarely. At 4:30, I begin to enter this space. And I bring that with me when I enter this room. And when I sit down on this chair and I start doing the phone numbers to call in and we test the mics and I look at the screen and so on, I know that ritualized with religious gatherings have begun. Okay? And the author goes on to talk about mystery plays and whatnot as means of gathering the attention of the individuals in those spaces. All right? They gathered the attention. They were people exactly like us. They may have had one or two things different that Susan and Aria pointed out in their summary. But there are people exactly like us probably wore different clothes, probably didn't have microphones, certainly didn't have computers, but they were exactly like us, and they came to the events, and things happened. It was not too long before these tribal stories became ritualized, moralistic lessons interpreted for the audiences. So now we've moved away from it. The stories are told and they're interpreted by somebody else. In the beginning, when their organizers had real knowledge, churches utilized the whole process of evocation, which is the process of drawing out oneself the mental and emotional atmosphere necessary for invocation. Have we, as a group right here, not done that? Are we marrying these they principle, you know, oh, they used to be able to get there. They could be angelic. They were the ones that could, they. Yet right now, individuals have gone through these efforts in evoking a particular space, and that as a group, we can ever so slightly invoke a different space for all of us now. It doesn't happen because of any one individual. But listen, look at what people have written. Quite beautiful. Some of the things, they've opened up their heart in a certain way, and they've allowed us to share in that. And when we surrender our egos just for a moment, and we allow ourselves to be in that space, we then share that with each other. Okay? Invocation in which the whole assembly could pass from a lower dimension to a higher dimension by the process of drawing down upon oneself a higher consciousness. Okay, now we're half hour into the class. Mark where you are now. Mark where we are now. Is your sensing that it is in a different place? Mark it well. Find it in your body. Where is that sensation exactly? And can you taste it? What's the flavor of it in a certain way? Make sense? Okay. Where are we now, I'm saying? During the earliest form of the ritualized communion, which came from the Sumerians and found its best known expression in the Passover Supper, as given by a man named Jesus. So here it's saying communion, ritualized communion. The whole of the assembly in these earlier forms of religious obligation was aware of the invocational significance of the assembly. Is this what we're doing when we come together here? All right. Now, I'm not trying to make a claim that we are going to the highest order, the highest chambers, so to speak. But we are doing something. And what I want to do is I want to harvest that and say, yes, we are. Yes, we are doing something. Because we're taking a stand against sleep and darkness by placing in the ground our shaft, our staff, and we're saying, this is the stand I'm taking right now. And they expected to produce through their efforts and to participate in a shared higher emotion, which would transport them as a single body composed of many human bodies and minds into the higher dimension. very exact gradations of mood were thus evoked in a definite sequence by the priest or priestesses. Have we done that a little bit here? Are there any comments at all? Do you want to go back and get the one about church without walls, Susan?
Okay. Without walls was cut off. I noticed that my mood was already shifting simply from the intent to go and be present.
Who is this?
This is Aria.
Thank you. Okay.
And then Jim was saying, when we were commenting on the space, that the space has density. And Pianjo adds that, yes, Jim, the space is not more dense, like a congealed light, which is warm, almost swooning in effect.
There's more of it now than there was 35 minutes ago.
Right.
There's more of it now. And I want us to note it as we go through all of this stuff. This is something we're doing together. We're doing this together. This was an experimental process only in the very beginning, and after a few centuries, the exact results of these higher mental, emotional, physical evocations were thoroughly mapped, and the priests and priestesses knew exactly how to lead the congregation on a journey. And certainly, a lot of that has been lost. It is less common for that to occur now. So we gather in a motley crew as we are and do what we can. We bring our tools together, right? We bring what we have here and we recreate the space as we are able to. We are in a moment of discovery ourselves. We're discovering this, in a sense, moment by moment as we go along. And those are the indications are that the space has the mood sense that it does. It does mean that we're going in the right direction. The mood of the congregation was not left to chance. The invocant priestess and priest must have seemed to people armed only with ordinary knowledge, like magicians, in the sense that they knew exactly how to invoke these higher religious feelings. They intentionally shaped by sight and sound the mood of the congregation to attain the exact passage through the higher dimensions, which they knew would be most useful to the Absolute. So, I just want to get a little bit away from they, you know? They, these priestesses, or they, these priests, is impossible to know. This mystery knowledge. This is that mystery. Are there other places to go, deeper, higher? Yes. And some of us have certainly experience that, but that doesn't negate what we're doing. And the reason I'm partly bringing it up is because we have a chance to work together. Aria and Susan put a great deal of effort into the first part of the chapter summary that they did. And I urge you to go on wingsofchaos.com, Hidden Work, Chapter 2. And I want to point out a couple of things that they brought in that were very, very good. And they begin their summary with just some of the same things we've already been talking about. But then they go, each member had to hold the attention and intention for the whole group to use. Wow. Each member had that obligation. Everybody. How many viewers do we have? So there's 16, there's four. So each of us have the responsibility of holding that space. Every single person. Path World has the responsibility to hold the space. Each member had to hold the attention. Lost Horizon, sitting there in Starbucks, has to hold the attention for the group, the whole group to use. We are dependent on Lost Horizon holding that space. Hawk Lady, Simon, Becky, Susan, Aria, Jim, I don't know who else is on. Simon, Templar, yeah. Piangio. Responsible for the group. You're the one that's been assigned the job of holding this space, right?
Is this not a community?
And then it becomes a community.
Well, I mean, there's the shape, what would you call it? What does EJ call that? The
morphology.
Morphology, yeah. The shape, you know, the way something exists in space and time is looking different from those reenactments and from sacred theater and from ancient tragedy and all of that. But it's nonetheless, there's a community formed, you know, when this gathering takes place.
And
so the attention, our attention is focused together.
And in the log, which if someone sends it to me, I'll post, and thank you for having sent it to me last week. We have a list of the ritualistic efforts that people make when they come to this event, to this gathering. Those are the elements that are required to help form something called community. And that community has a morphological shape, Ivan. We are sensitive to that now, aren't we not? Then the summarizers go on and they say, what is the effort we are or should be expecting of ourselves to make? I'd like to pose that as a question and see, let's get some answers. What is that effort that I'm babbling on about? That you're required to make? What is the effort that we bring? What is that which we pay into the space for the good of the whole? What is our sacrifice? What do we pull out of our purse and lay before the group?
Our attention.
Our attention. Let me say something about that comment and attention. At first, the attention kind of is like, I'm giving more attention, I'm giving more attention. At some point, how do you give more? How can we give more right now to the space? What can we do to give more to this space?
Well, Jim H. says to sacrifice machine distraction.
Okay.
Aria and Lost Horizon say attention and presence. Pathworld says our love.
Excellent. Grace.
Aria says our willingness to acquiesce.
Yes, yeah. That's part of what I'm getting to is this idea of acquiescence, that at a certain point, we have, when the space is proper, we have an opportunity to surrender, to actually acquiesce to it. And as Jim is saying, if we're able to give up the mechanics and the ego of the ever-present ego of the machine, we can acquiesce to this space, in a sense, surrender ourselves to it. And as Pathworld is saying, that's part of the objective love that we can bring to one another. Okay?
DeAndre says we can give more to the space by loving it, opening to it.
Yeah.
And Lost Horizon says becoming as transparent to the space as possible.
So what can I do to be more transparent, to give more, to surrender more, to just, to my heart, pierce it, and let it be part of this? Because it's a worthy effort, because it is truly a worthy effort. The summarizers continue. We have each and every one of us at some point, many points, decided to come together and gather as essential beings to be fully present and to give our heightened, undivided, essential attention to the space and discussion. In doing so, we as a group move. We have voyaged. What a line. Undivided essential attention. That's what we give to the space. It's a different thing then. We're not trying to come to this to say, oh, what'd you get out of it? That's funny. Right? So you don't come, what did I get out of it? How about if your journal says, oh, I was able to give this much. I learned how to give one inch more, one micro dot more. What a victory that is. We are, there is a battle of the powers and principalities, and the darkness is active around us. But every moment or two, every so often, something else can occur, and we can pierce that darkness. As Harry is saying, Kianja is saying, by bringing this, by loving the space. And then there's a discussion of all of the externalities, from sports and video games to Chinese food and pizza, that act to get us away from it. But in spite of that, we have somebody sitting there at Starbucks, but is doing this. Can you find ways to be distracted? That's easy. How about ways to pay attention? Then I'm going to read the last paragraph of your summaries, okay? We are becoming shaman in our own right. We are voyaging as a collective. We sometimes move clumsily or not at all. We sometimes take forever to settle or to come together only at last instead of in the beginning or all at once. But we are doing it. The collective group effort, gathering of essences, becoming a meeting of souls to share in the Last Supper, in compassion for the suffering of ascending the cross and the communion of and with the divine and of each other. we have somehow moved back from passivity to active, subtle effort. Wow. I have a question for Lost Horizon. How's it going?
Lost Horizon says it's an interesting exercise to hold this in this environment.
Did you feel at any point that in essence a cone of silence had enveloped you?
My biggest distraction from the space seems to be thinking for typing in the chat.
Interesting.
Not to mention the ego boost when people like what I have to say, LOL.
Yeah, so in other words, your ego thanks us, you thank us. We got it. That's good. That's an important technique, by the way, to do exactly what you said. My ego really liked it when you did that. That was cool.
He says, yes, there definitely was a cone of silence.
Oh, that's what I was looking for. Because when we have and we enter this space, we actually create hermetically sealed. We're sealed right now. Do you feel that? Like we're impenetrable in a certain way. And it becomes more sanctified by the more we give, the more we give into it. That's our challenge. So why am I bringing this up so much? I mean, this is a nice discussion of ancient civilizations and how they had these big things going on and this and that. And when I was reading this for a few weeks ago, I started thinking, wait a minute. Those slumps are just like we are. They're the same, engineers and bookkeepers and whatever. Now they were probably carpenters and sheep herders and grain people and fishermen. So they had different jobs, but it was the same thing. But what they were able to carry along with them is a suitcase, a little suitcase of sensing the essential self. They would carry it with them wherever, whatever space that was more allowed to be prevalent in their societies. We can carry that suitcase too. We get fortified when we come to this space because we're able to be in communion with each other. And we can go, oh yeah, that space. But we're not dependent on this space, on this event, on this gathering for that space to exist. The challenge is to carry, calling it the suitcase of the essential self, like carry it with you wherever you go, in the most unlikely places, bring it forth and open it up and see what comes out. It will change the reality around you too. It will change how people react to you, how they respond. You'll draw people in that will surprise you. That happened to me just yesterday. I was surprised. It's a way of working the coincidence control. So that's the point that I think, that's the first half of the chapter. That's where I wanted to go with that, and we were led there by Susan and Aria. And then the next part of it, next few pages, then we start to get into a more formal discussion of prayer itself and how, and I think we'll blend together some of these ideas that we have, this ritual that each of us bring when we come to our computer desk, that people have specific technique that they use to get into these spaces. Okay?
I do have a comment from Aria.
Okay.
I know when I have created the space correctly, I notice if the space is right, Sojourner Spirit moves into the space to voyage. But if I am not in presence and the space is not contained, she just lies outside the door and waits.
That's her pet, that's her dog. And that's an objective measure she uses to notice how her inner state is emanating, what she is emanating from her space. Excellent. Any other comments? Quiet out there tonight. Ivan. I think that the one of the things that the churches do that I think is a disservice, you go into, I know a little bit about the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox, but you walk into the physical building, and it's arrayed with invocational elements. There's, you know, like candles, there's incense, there's lights, or just a certain way, there's the pictures of the saints. It's vaulted ceiling. And then we don't think we can start until the priest comes, and then it occurs. It's this idea of the hierarchical model that I'm interested in interrupting and saying that what do we bring to the table as well? Okay? And I think it's the same in the synagogue.
Things probably haven't stayed the way they were originally meant to be. In regard to worship,
yeah.
But I think there are a lot of survivals. I mean, probably everybody in this circle here has experienced some of those group events or group experiences where more subtle or exquisite emotions are evoked, which could be theater, theater musical performances. There are survivals of activities where this process is going on, but it's mostly not directed by anyone. There isn't anyone knowledgeable. There's no one technical knowledge who's overseeing it. But I think that I feel myself that I've experienced. Really moments of very unusual group emotion.
Yeah.
In plays, musical performances. And there are also communities where some religious observances are of the older forms.
Absolutely.
That you can experience. And that's a very memorable experience.
And it's happening right now. I think I've shared the experience of that Cistercian monastery that I visited near Big Sur, where you could feel the result of the prayer of the monks. And they have constant directed attention just in this manner. But we're working in the world, but we're not of it. So we're bringing these skill sets that we're developing here, and we're taking them back into the world. The problem is that we get sucked back in sometimes, and we have to work. We have to work to hold this essential self in our hands and bring it forth at the strangest times. Is that all we have, Susan?
Let's see, we have a couple.
Okay.
There's a little conversation Jim started saying, it's hard to let go of the space, so I won't. And then Pathworld says, so when we log off, does that close the space, or do we close it? Tianjo adds, that's a good question. Maybe we have that choice. So it seemed like a good little...
I'll give my opinion of it. And I'm sure that there are more knowledgeable people that can answer. But when we complete the class, then this space is ended. Then we have completed this space. We haven't lost the sense of the essential self that is engendered by this space. But this specific gathering is complete. So the answer is, yes, it does, Pathworld. Go ahead.
Well, Pathworld was saying, is logging off enough?
When we close the space, we close it in a certain way here. We ask, are there any questions? Are there more questions? Are we complete with this space as it is at the moment? Is there anything else that should be said? Is there anything that wasn't said that should have been said? And then in a sense, for me, we thank the space. There's a gratitude that we bring forth. We bring forth that gratitude for having been able to participate this one more time in this space with our fellow voyagers. So quietly, when it's over, that's what goes on in me, and maybe we should formalize that a little bit more and close it in that way, with a certain gratitude that we have. And I see that at the end of the log. So when you log off and you go to whatever you're going to do, see if you can bring this, the effects of this space with you for a bit. Some of you have specific work to do later tonight, actually. Bring the fruits of this to that space.
What about the persistence of the community during the week? Is it possible that I might think of this community, of this meeting, of this gathering, during activities that I'm carrying out during the week, apart from this activity, of this process here?
That's the Holy Grail. That's the Holy Grail of this kind of effort, is to do that exact thing. Like you teach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I consult with clients. I have an important meeting on Friday, and I know what's going to happen in that meeting. I intend during that meeting to bring, in essence, this space to it. Now, if you go on the website and you leave little notes, like leaving notes on the the what is the wall in Jerusalem? The Wailing
Wall. Wailing Wall, yeah.
It's like, you know how they leave prayers there?
Yeah, that's right.
You leave a little prayer on the website, and others will come during the week, and they'll remember Jim, and they'll remember Lost Horizon, and Aria, and Susan. And Hawk Lady will go on there and say something about the project she's working on. Aria will interrupt the locomotive that she's strapped to every day with 1 second of remembrance of this community that has gathered tonight. That strength is with you all the time. We have it together, whatever you go into, that exactly, whatever that which is went through your brain. That is available to you. This community is with you. Okay? It doesn't happen by itself. There's no silver bullets here. It's the effort we bring to it. Okay? Anything else? Is that about it? Okay. Thank you so much, Lost Horizon, and everybody for your efforts this evening. Thank you so much for coming. We'll see you next Wednesday.